From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Thursday, October 20th, 2016, I trust that you all are having a fantastic week. Can you believe it's almost Friday? My, oh my. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. We've got a fun-filled hour of sports talk here in store for all of our listeners out there. On today's show, we will chat about a pretty big absence now for the Michigan State men's basketball team. Yes, the herd thins once again, specifically when we talk about the big guys in the paint, all right? Yeah, we'll give you an update on that, as of course today also marks Michigan State men's basketball media day. So Tom Izzo will be talking at 2 p.m. The players will be talking soon after that, so I'll have a report via WKAR.org later this evening with the team. So we'll have plenty of Michigan State men's basketball talk. We'll also invite Omari Sankofa to the show, freelance sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, Detroit Free Press, and is also a campus correspondent for Sports Illustrated. Omari, of course, he couldn't join us yesterday because he was getting a fly haircut, so he will join us via phone on today's show. And also, we will have coverage from Michigan State Women's Basketball Media Day. I got a chance to head out to the Brez yesterday afternoon and chat with Susie Merchant and her troops as they rev up for another year. And we will continue our talk on the Big Ten and MAC. Yeah, they're implementing a new replay rule when it comes to charges inside the paint. All right, so we'll have all of that chatter and more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. Also have to remind you that today marks the final day of our WKAR Radio Fall Fundraiser. Can you believe that? Crazy, crazy stuff. Again, time flies, folks. Now, during this WKAR Radio Fall Fundraiser, we have been conducting drawings each and every day, all right? And one winner of each drawing has been chosen at random and has been notified via phone and by email following that drawing. Now, winner names have been also announced on the air and on social media. Now, the drawings are open to all listeners 18 years of age or older, and membership or other financial donation to WKAR is not required. And on this final giveaway, Thursday, October 20th, we are giving away a pair of, well, tickets, I should say, to the Wharton Center Performing Arts Series, okay? Now, you can enter between now and 7 p.m., all right, folks, so you have about 6 hours left to put in your bid for that, okay? And, hey, if you love what we do here at WKAR, whether it be here on Current Sports, whether it be on Current State in the Morning, giving you your latest news here in mid-Michigan and beyond, or if you love classical music with Jody Knoll and Jamie Paisley, and all of the other programs, stellar programs that we provide here on WKAR Radio, well, hey, we want you to officially be a part of our team, okay? Because without you, we can't do what we do. Please donate. Final day here during our fall fundraiser. You can do that by simply going to WKAR.org or calling us at 517-353-5000. All right, folks. Well, as you hear, there's so much to get to on today's show. Let's stop wasting time. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Michigan State Men's Basketball center Gavin Schilling, that's right, the senior, will have surgery after he suffered a non-contact knee injury during practice last Friday. Big loss for the MSU men's basketball team. Now, Schilling's injury comes shortly after graduate transfer Ben Carter's own knee injury. No timetable has been announced for Schilling's return, with both Schilling and Carter out. MSU is down to four healthy forwards that are now over 6'4". Nick Ward, a 6'8" freshie, will now likely start at the five spot. The expectations for Ward were to ease him into the game at the college level, but now his role is expected to make a jump. And again, folks, today marks the start of, the official start of the MSU men's basketball year, with Media Day kicking off at 2 p.m. I am sure Coach Izzo will be addressing that injury. All right, the NCAA has charged Rick Pitino for failing to monitor a staff member in his basketball program. Now, according to the report, Louisville should escape serious penalties from the NCAA. Now, with similar cases, coaches have been charged with multi-game suspensions. Last season, Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim and then SMU coach Larry Brown were suspended for 9 games. Louisville has 90 days to respond to the NCAA's notice and dispute any of its findings. Then the NCAA will have 60 days to respond to Louisville. Now, because of this, Pitino nor Louisville will learn of penalties until the spring of 2017 at the earliest, with next summer the most likely timetable to learn of the punishments. The number 11 Michigan State women's volleyball team swept Rutgers Wednesday night at Jennison Fieldhouse. The Spartans dropped the Scarlet Knights in 3 straight sets with scores of 25-15, 25-13, and 25-16. MSU is now 17-4 on the year and are currently 6-3 in Big Ten play. Now, the team registered a season high in hitting percentage at .463, while Chloe Rainick and Holly Tolliver each had 10 kills on the night. The Spartans now head to Columbus on Saturday for a rematch with the number 19 Ohio State at 6 p.m. at St. John Arena. All right, the number 20th ranked Michigan State men's soccer team defeated Yale 2-0 yesterday at DeMartin Stadium behind goals from two midfielders, senior Andrew Herr and junior Ken Krolicki. Herr's goal was the first of his career at MSU, and helped the Spartans get back on the winning track after losing to Penn State in double OT on Saturday. Now, MSU remains undefeated at home with the win, improving to 7-0-1 in EL. The last time a MSU soccer team went undefeated at home was in 1975. Their overall record is now 10-3-1 and 3-2-1 in the Big Ten. Good enough for second in the conference. The team's next game is their final home game, Senior Day, on Saturday versus Northwestern. That will be a 3 p.m. start time. Last night, the Detroit Red Wings beat the New York Rangers 2-1 in a nationally televised original six game at the Garden. Wings coach Jeff Blashill gave Jimmy Howard his first start of the season, and he did not disappoint. Howard stopped 32 of 33 shots as the Wings improved to 2-2 on the year.
Jimmy stole the game. I thought Jimmy was, honestly, that's one of the better performances I've seen as from a goalie, really probably at any level. I thought he was excellent.
The Rangers scored in the first period off a redirection from defenseman Ryan McDonough, his slap shot. Then Thomas Vinick scored his third goal of the year for the Wings on a redirection off Franz Nielsen's shot to tie the game at 1. Drew Miller scored for the Wings 59 seconds into the third period as they went on to win the game. The Wings head home, where they begin a 3-game homestand against the Nashville Predators tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. The Detroit Pistons fell to the Toronto Raptors 103-92 to even their final preseason record at 3-3. Now, the Raptors' backcourt of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan combined for 53 points, while 4 of the 5 Pistons starters scored double-digit points. Center Andre Drummond had 13 rebounds with his 16 points for another double-double. The Raptors were hot from three-point range, shot 42.9% from deep, while the Pistons only connected on 21.7% of their three-point shots behind the arc. Now, the Pistons open their year on Wednesday officially to start the regular season, October 26th at 7:30 p.m. when they travel to Toronto to take on the Raptors at the Air Canada Center. It's the middle of October, and that means it's the middle of the MLB playoffs. One team has already booked its spot in the World Series.
Now the 2-2, a swing and a pop-up. First base side foul ground playable. Perez, Santana makes the catch! Ball game! The Indians have won the American League pennant!
The Cleveland Indians, or should I say, Windians. I like that. The Tribe have only lost one game in their postseason run. Cleveland beat Toronto 3-0 yesterday and won the series 4-1. They continue the AL Central's dominance of the American League, making it 4 out of the last 5 years that the Fall Classic will feature a team from the Central. In the NL, the Chicago Cubs and LA Dodgers are now tied at 2 apiece after the Cubbies won Game 4, 10-2, breaking out of their two-game hitting slump. Game 5 of that series takes place tonight at 8:08 p.m. on Fox Sports 1, featuring the Game 1 starters, John Lester and Kenta Maeda. Now, Chi-Town won Game 1, 8-4. In an interview with Charlie Rose that will air tonight on PBS, that's right, WKER-TV, folks, Tiger Woods, now 40 years old, seemed confident, even cocky. Get this, Rose. Do you believe you'll get 18 majors? Woods, to be honest with you, no. Rose, you don't? Woods, no. Rose, you've accepted that? Woods, I've accepted I'm going to get more. What? Did he just say that? Yeah, right? Woods still believes he's going to eclipse the record of Jack Nicklaus. Crazy, right? Now, this comes out less than 2 weeks after Woods pulled out of the Safeway Open because he did not feel his game was ready. Jason Day, current world number one, says, we have to wait until 2017 to see Woods back on the course. I am really looking forward to that interview. All right, folks, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. It's about that time to start the show.
How did Andre McGee come into your life?
Andre was the one who always had the money. Passed out the money, made it rain, made the deals, paid for the deals. He would start the music, and usually the girls would come out one by one, and they would dance for the recruit. He asked me, is there any girls that want to, you know, make extra money, pretty much side deal with the players? And I was like, I'll ask. So I asked the girls, you know, anybody want to make extra money? And their eyes just lit up like, well, yeah. And that's when I started dealing with McGee.
When Andre approaches you and broaches the subject of would some of the girls do side deals, did you negotiate terms?
I just knew side deals were sex. Side deals were sex, and if they wanted to make extra money, that's what the side deal was, sex.
And that is how we begin this Thursday afternoon version of WKER's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, I am your host, Al Martin. And I'm a big shock today. A little bit shocked about the breaking news concerning Rick Pitino. Noted basketball coach at the University of Louisville. And, you know, this is a topic we've talked about pretty extensively, especially when it broke. You heard the Outside the Lines, just a snippet of the Outside the Lines report with Escort Katina Powell, and the allegations that the program basically recruited dirty, all right? There were some iffy things going on concerning recruits who came to the University of Louisville to try and woo those recruits to become a part of that team. Hall of Fame coach Rick Pitino has been charged with failing to monitor a staff member in his basketball program. But Louisville, again, I'm reading this from ESPN, folks, otherwise escaped potentially serious penalties stemming from an NCAA investigation into allegations made by former escort Katina Powell. Now, before I really dive into my thoughts on this story, how do we get here, folks? How do we get here? Well, this all basically started with a book. There was really no public knowledge that this went down at Louisville until Miss Powell, in a self-described former escort, announced plans last year to publish a book entitled Cardinal Rules, Basketball, and the Escort Queen. That was about 104 pages. In those 104 pages, she details how Andre McGee, formerly a man very close with the Louisville program, who no longer is a part of the program, no longer has any ties to the university, period. So, I mean, when it comes to, you know, laying down the hammer in his respect, I mean, what can you do, right? But at the time, you know, he was a part of the staff. She detailed how McGee paid her to throw parties at an on-campus dorm. And actually, that dorm, named for Patino's late brother-in-law, Billy Minardi. That's ironic, right? And provide prospects and players with strippers and prostitutes. Now, McGee initially denied Powell's allegations, but later went quiet and ultimately refused to speak with the NCAA after losing his job at UMKC. Now, either way, the NCAA has conducted the entire investigation as to what Powell wrote and has concluded that it's true. Players and former recruits have also confirmed her stories in Cardinal Rules, Basketball, and the Escort Queen. Huh. So this all comes down to responsibility. This is exactly what this is, okay? Now, what the NCAA did rule, and again, four level one violations are pretty bad, okay? That's obvious. But it surprised me that the NCAA did not rule that this was lack of institutional control. That's what really surprised me, because if they did that, then we would have seen, you know, heavy, heavy suspensions and violations placed on Rick Pitino and the program. Now, again, want to note that Pitino still might face a suspension. I gave you the timeline during our quick hit headliners as to how the appeal process will go and so on and so forth. But Louisville, again, was not hit with a lack of institutional control. That would have been much worse. Once Katina Powell's allegations came out that they were believable, the best Louisville could hope for is that the NCAA would determine that this was an Andre McGee problem. This wasn't a Louisville men's basketball problem. And with this ruling, that's basically what they're saying. No other university employee is formally tied to these violations. So basically, the NCAA's case is centered around one, quote-unquote, low-level staff member who alleges it provided $5,400 in impermissible benefits. That, my friends, is how Louisville was able to avoid the whole lack of institutional control ruling. Therefore, we're not going to see, you know, Rick Pitino. Again, therefore, it's going to be kind of like a suspension that we saw with Larry Brown at SMU and Jim Boeheim at Syracuse, okay? But I really thought, I mean, there was enough here. Because, again, it comes down to responsibility with me. And you heard Katina Powell in that snippet from OTL, you know, and she alleged that Andre McGee, Katina Powell basically said, hey, Andre, does Pitino know about this? And she alleged that McGee said Pitino knows about everything. Rick Pitino, you really dodged a bullet with this one. Like Neo from the Matrix, man, because I really thought that they were going to hammer him. So, again, Pitino will probably face a suspension. We have to go through the whole timeline here where, you know, Louisville has 90 days to respond to the NCAA's notice, and they can dispute any of its findings. So you better believe that they're going through that right now. Then, and you bet you that Louisville will probably soak up the entire 90 days to go through the report because, again, basketball season is right around the corner, and they want to milk this timeline as much as possible. So after those 90 days goes by, the NCAA will then have 60 days to respond to Louisville. So, again, as I mentioned, you know, Pitino will probably learn the penalties in the program, will learn the penalties probably in spring of 2017. So, again, I believe that Pitino will probably face a suspension, you know, probably like, you know, Hall of Famers Jim Boeheim and Larry Brown endured it last year. With that said, any possible suspension probably wouldn't be served until 2017-18. Rick Pitino really got off the hook here. Really got off the hook. And hearing a story like this, again, these allegations were deemed to be true, according to the NCAA investigation into it. And it just makes me wonder. It makes me wonder, folks, just how many other programs are riding dirty. I got to say that because, you know, maybe not to this level of what occurred at Louisville, you know, with escorts and prostitutes and so on and so forth, which is ugly. Maybe not to that extent, but it just makes me think. And I've always had this notion about recruiting that, I mean, and you know, like not everybody plays by the rules, okay? And I feel like there's so much pressure on these coaches to keep up and to woo big-time recruits that a lot of them feel like they have to play dirty. They have to get a little dirty at least in order to try and get, you know, the big five-star recruits across the nation. So it makes me wonder just how many other programs are doing this. You can't help, you know, but address that elephant in the room. Just thinking about it. How many other programs out there against the grain, going against the grain, and doing all they can, even if it may be illegal, to woo recruits to their respective school? And heck, this story even reminded me, and I made this statement when it first came out. For those who've seen He Got Game with Ray Allen and Denzel Washington, one of my favorite sports movies of all time, directed by the great Spike Lee. And we all know the scene when Ray is walking through the dorm rooms with Rick Fox and Fox is showing him the campuses and so on and so forth. The coach isn't present at all. And we all know what happens in that dorm room. I mean, when I first saw that movie, I'm like, man, does that really go down in recruiting visits? That's crazy, right? It just makes you wonder. It really does, folks. And I get it to a certain extent. I mean, Pitino came out and constantly denied that he had any knowledge of what Andre McGee was doing with these recruits after Pitino had met them and had his whole recruiting spiel to them. You know, he went home and, you know, once the sun went down, I don't know what happened, you know? And I get it. You can't be with these recruits 24/7, right? You know, especially when they're hanging out with other players of the team and, you know, they're hanging out with other people that aren't a part of your coaching staff. I mean, but Andre McGee was on the staff. So this is really sticky. And Pitino, if you are Rick Pitino, you have to be wiping your brow heavy right now. So I'm curious, what do you think about this, folks? What do you think about the Louisville story? Do you think Rick got off easy? And if so, what do you think should have happened? 517-355-WKER, 517-355-9527. Before we get our first break, I want to get, of course, the opinion of our current sports engineer, Isaac Constance, on this subject. Isaac, what do you think? What did you think of? What was your initial reaction when that flashed across your phone that, you know, Rick Pitino, they did deem what happened to be true, but that there was no lack of institutional control? Because that would have really knocked this out the park.
I was flabbergasted. I really was shocked by the decision, because when you find the program guilty of this, it seems almost to go hand in hand that you'd find Pitino guilty as well of all charged allegations, because now we know that Louisville did in fact use prostitutes to help entice recruits to the program. And one thing you said is, you get it, you can't be with the recruits 24/7, that's fine. And I agree with that for the most part. The other thing, though, is these aren't your players. They're recruits. It is your job to supervise their visit. That's part of your responsibilities as the head coach of a program. Then you go on to this guy using, how much was it? $5,500, pretty much. And that's supposed to be out of his own pocket just for the betterment of the program or whatever it is. People don't act like that. That fund goes through the athletic director, through Rick Pitino. I don't know how involved the entire Louisville athletic staff was involved in this, but this could go much higher than Pitino as well. And then what really annoyed me, and I said, boy, that Tiger Woods quote that you started the show with is the stupidest thing I've heard in a while. No, there was something even more moronic than that. Rick Pitino denies the charges of failing to monitor his staff. He said, quote, "I'm not guilty of failing to monitor my staff. I'm guilty of trusting somebody." No, Rick, you're guilty of failing to monitor your staff, and you should be on your knees praising and praying to the NCAA right now that that's all that they gave you, because that was the lightest possible repercussion of this case that he could have had, to be so impudent to say that that is almost an overextension of their powers. He should have known about this if he didn't, and he did know about it. Bottom line.
You have to know what is taking place in your program, okay? Just like any boss at in any job. Simple as that. You have to know, and you have to. And if you don't know, you have. It's still your fault, because you hired.
Just as much
you
of
hired
a problem.
Them, you know what I mean? You hired them. You have to know who you're hiring, and you have to make sure that you cross your T's and dot your I's to make sure that you're bringing in people of moral character that won't even think about doing something like this, okay? And the word, let's be real here, and this is another reason why I hate recruiting. I mean, there's so many different reasons why. You know that I hate, you know, signing day and recruiting, Isaac. I if there's anything in sports that I strongly dislike, it's that. Because you have these kids, especially those who are 5 stars, 4 stars. I'm not saying all of them. I'm saying some of them. They're put on this pedestal, and they're catered to like they're kings. And it just really bothers me. That really, really bothers me. But not only that, you know, a lot of head coaches at Division I colleges, I mean, if you don't win, you're getting fired. Simple as that. And if you don't, in order to win, you have to have top recruits. So if you see this other guy playing dirty, maybe, getting a little dirty and getting these big recruits, a lot of coaches feel like they have an obligation to do the same if they want a big recruit, because that directly translates into winning. And that's something that, you know, Pitino's name has been thrown up, you know, not just in this instance, but other instances in the past that won't even bring up. You look at John Calipari, his name has been rumored as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the big coaches in the game have been rumored to dabble a little bit dirty. You know what I mean? Now, and again, I will say we have a perfect example right here on our campus as to how to do it the right way. We've never heard of Izzo's name rumored. And a lot of it has to do with
Josh Lankford stopped by WKR Studios on his tour. That's not quite the Louisville experience.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Like, oh yeah, I want to come here. Oh, they got WKR. No, that's not happening, man. But Izzo has done it the right way, and it makes me wonder because we've seen Izzo miss out on huge recruits like a Lankford. I mean, like a Josh Jackson, like a Jabari Parker. And it just makes you wonder why. Well, you know what I mean? Maybe that recruiting visit wasn't as sexy as another school.
I do have to qualify that, though, because, of course, Josh Lankford, or rather Josh Jackson, and Jabari Parker both have really upstanding, morally right reputations as players.
They do.
None are.
I'm just saying.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Just,
no,
I'm
but
just throwing stuff around here.
Other recruits in the past, I'm with you.
Right, I'm just throwing stuff around here. All of this makes you doubt the recruiting system so much if you didn't already.
You've got to be cynical. You've got to be a skeptic. And the thing is, a lot of other programs certainly do employ squalid and possibly salacious practices, such as going to a strip club, going to a party where they know that the player might try to have a certain goal in mind. But at the same time, hiring prostitutes, that is something that I at least like to believe is not a common practice in college basketball.
Right.
And I do think that these punishments were not nearly enough from the NCAA. It's not to the same magnitude,
not to
the same extent, but it did remind me slightly of the Penn State case with Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah, there's clearly a line. There's a line that you don't cross. Simple as that. And again, Joe Pye, he was under your tutelage. He was in your program. So you got to know better than that. And also, Isaac, I'm shocked, though, because I did not have a problem at all with what Tiger Woods had to say. I'll explain that later on in the show. I had no problem with what Tiger Woods had to say.
You're
to
loyal. With I'll give it to you.
No, I'm just saying, if you are, and again, I'll just give a little bit of taste here. Isaac, if you don't believe in yourself, who is? You know what I mean?
But
come on,
dude. He could have said that.
Come on, man.
He shouldn't have said, I'm going to beat it.
Tiger Woods
That's
has always
wrong.
He has always been that way. He entered the game of golf with that cocky attitude, and it's what made him great.
But Al,
so
do you think that he's going
that?
To get even another major?
No,
because
probably,
I don't.
And I honestly don't think he probably believes that, Isaac, but he can't go out there and doubt himself in front of America like that because they for sure won't believe
no,
it. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't expect him to say something like, no, of course I'm not going to reach that, but say something like, that's I'm shooting for. Not I'm going to get it. That's very different.
But Tiger is not a guy who puts his toe in. He goes all in when he makes comments of what he's striving for. He's always been like
well,
that.
Well, maybe
so
since
surprise
his
me.
Actual talent and qualities declined, he should change that approach because it doesn't make him look good.
That's the way Tiger's been. I think, honestly, the reason why we haven't seen Tiger Woods be what he used to be is because when that whole situation happened in 2008 on Thanksgiving, that eye of the tiger, he tried to please everybody. He went back to
his Buddhist
beginnings.
About that.
And he became not himself on the course. He stopped the throwing the clubs and the cursing. That was the method to his madness.
No, you're right. That was 5 years ago, though. And since, that's not the problem anymore. Now it's just a straight-up talent issue.
With this quote, he's searching for that old tiger. And I like that.
He
at
ain't
going
to find it, though.
He may not. He may not. But at least he's looking for it. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Omari Sankofa, freelance writer for the Lansing State Journal, Detroit Free Press, and also campus correspondent for SI, Sports Illustrated. When we come back, that and more. Don't go anywhere.
This month, public radio stations across the country are asking for your help with on-air fundraising campaigns. We're committed to keeping ours as short as possible on WKAR. Will you make your gift at WKAR.org now to help our campaign start strong? If you rely on the news and music services on WKAR, if they enrich your life, please help sustain them. Let's come together to keep public radio a strong voice in our community. Make your investment now at WKAR.org, and thanks.
Face, draw back in fear. I am the most you wear. It's me, the hair.
Here we go. I knew it was coming. I knew he had to play it, right? Yes, that's when I completely embarrassed myself not too long ago. Last week, Friday, actually, as we began our WKAR fall fundraiser and gave away a pair of tickets to the Wharton Center Broadway series. And Phantom of the Opera goes right up that alley. So, yeah, Isaac, he's going to play that throughout the duration of our time here on Current Sports.
Well,
I know
throughout
it.
The duration of our pledge drive. That's the reason.
Okay.
It's so
we're
until
killing it
we
after
meet
today.
Our goal, I think it's a $35,000 okay. goal for the day.
Yeah.
Pretty much you've got to listen to that banshee screech is
exactly.
what I refer to it as.
So, yeah, so if you don't want to hear it anymore, hey, please call in, give what you can. If you love what you hear on WKAR radio on a daily basis, whether it be what we do here from 1 to 2 p.m. on WKAR AM 870's Current Sports, or whether it be in the morning on Current State with host Mark Bayshore, bringing you your latest news that you care about here in mid-Michigan, as well as even classical music from our very own Jody Knoll and Jamie Paisley. Any donation works, all right? Simply go to WKAR.org, or you can call in, pick up that phone, 517-353-5000. Whatever you donate, we truly appreciate it, okay? Because we can't do what we do without the help and support of you, all right? And, hey, today we are giving – we are doing our second-to-last giveaway. And, hey, speaking of the Wharton Center Performing Broadway Series, I should say, today we are giving away tickets to the Wharton Center Performing Arts Series. So – call in. Again, you have until 7 p.m. to put your name in the hat. All right? Well, let's get to our guest for today's show. He is certainly a dear friend of our airwaves. He's a freelance writer for the Lansing State Journal, Detroit Free Press, as well as campus correspondent for Sports Illustrated. We tried to get him on yesterday's show, and we had some fun with it. I don't know if he tuned in and listened. He probably was still in the chair getting his haircut, but we had some fun because he was getting a fly high top fade, I'm sure, right, Isaac?
Can't argue with that.
In the barbershop chair yesterday. So we got him on our airwave today. Fly funky fresh Omari Sankofa. Omari, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you? And also, I want to say it is a high top fade, so you guys did get that correct.
No, you said you didn't get the high top fade?
No, I did get the high top fade.
Look at that. I'm right on the money, man.
Fresh.
Right on the money.
Right on the money. Mommy, I tell you, it's funny, though, man, because, and you probably know this, Omari, it's so crazy because, you know, hairstyles always come back. Like, when I grew up, like, you know, they used to make fun of kids who had the high top fade. They used to call it the Timmy fade. You know, if you didn't have your waves banging, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you would get made fun of. But now, everybody's getting the high top fade. And, you know, they're getting, like, the Odell Beckham dying of hair, blind, all that kind of stuff. Am I right with that, Omari?
Yeah, we're kind of going backwards a little bit. I don't know how popular dye was back in the 90s, but, of course, high top is back. But they're not
right.
quite as high, though. They're, like, half of what they were in, like, the 90s. So I guess
right.
that's what makes it different.
Very true. And you remember, like, the early 2000s, everybody used to grow out the fro. And the reason why everybody grew out the fro was because everybody wanted braids. If you didn't have braids, you had to have your waves on point. Am I right?
Yeah, you have to have – it was either one or the other. And waves will probably, to be fair, would never go out of fashion. But
no, never.
No, I don't think we're going to see braids for a while.
Right. I don't think so either. I think that's officially dead now. But, yeah, I think, you know, I still got a homie from the west side of Detroit who's always brushing his hair every single minute because he's got to have his waves popping. All right. So enough about the beauty salon talk here. Let's talk some sports now, Omari. I want to start with MSU basketball first because we got some breaking news that occurred yesterday afternoon concerning a pretty big name, a part of that MSU men's basketball team that I am sure Tom Izzo is going to address in about 20 minutes or so here. But Gavin Schilling is now out for the team with a knee injury. Omari, how bad does this hurt this team as the season embarks now just right around the corner?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a weak point on this year's team, it was definitely at the center position, you know, especially after they lost Ben Carter, the injury was like probably a month ago. And I think last time I was on the show, I said that Gavin Schilling was probably the key to their season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he, you know, is athletic and, you know, about 6'11 and can do some things. But losing him is a huge blow. That's going to put a lot more pressure on Nick Ward, who was a true freshman, to hold that position down. And, you know, he was a high recruit. I think he'll do well. But at the same time, there's you know, little to no depth behind him. He's going to move Miles Bridges up a little bit. He'll be on the block a little bit more, which will have its pros and cons. I guess we'll see how that pans out. It'll put more pressure on Kenny Goins, who had, you know, some knee trouble to step up and, you know, defend some bigger guys. So it's going to have repercussions that kind of go down the entire lineup. And, yeah, like I said, if there's one guy that they couldn't afford to lose, it was Gavin Schilling. So I guess we'll see what the severity of the injury is, and maybe he could come back towards the end. But obviously when it's a non-contact knee injury, that's never a good sign. So I guess at this point we're just going to wait and see what the news is for it.
Now, you mentioned Nick Ward now having to step into a role that, again, he's a freshie, having to step up into a role that he's not accustomed to being in. Did you get a chance at all to see Nick Ward during the Summer League Pro-Am? What are your impressions of Nick Ward right now, if so? And what do you think he needs to improve on to really be a consistent player day in and day out with the absence of a Gavin Schilling?
I did see some of the Summer League action, not as much as I would have liked. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Nick Ward is just, you know, he looks like a big, you know, physical guy that can do, you know, some things, you know. You know, he has some versatility to his game. Biggest thing for him, he will have to prove that he can hold down the center spot defensively. On offense, they'll probably be okay regardless of what he contributes, given that they have several scorers. But he's going to have to be able to man the paint down on defense, you know, for long stretches of the game. And that's a tough challenge for any player, let alone a true freshman. So that'll be the biggest test for him. And I think Izzo's really going to tell him to focus on defense and, you know, rebounding, especially early on in the year.
Yeah, certainly. We actually got a chance to see him at the game that really stands out vividly to me is the game in which Jabari Parker of the Milwaukee Bucks, he came to town and was matched up directly against Nick Ward, and they went at it for a little bit, but you know, there was a clear talent differential there. I mean, you got a guy in the NBA going against a guy who's yet to play his very first college basketball game at MSU. But, you know, Nick Ward did have a few moments there, and I think he's going to be a really fun player to watch this upcoming year. And speaking of fun player to watch, I mean, this whole entire freshman recruiting class for Tom Izzo is going to be fun to watch. What are you looking forward to seeing out of this recruiting class, Izzo's best since he's been head coach here at Michigan State, Omari?
Well, I think the last thing I said, of course, about Miles Bridges, you know, a high flyer, a guy who really has a multifaceted offensive game. Michigan State really hasn't had a guy like him, you know, really in quite some time. You know, a guy that's, you know, 6'6", 6'7", or 6'8", you know, like a true wing who can do a lot of things. I mean, well, obviously, Denzel Valentine, but to me, he's a point guard, so it's not really quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
But Miles Bridges will be good for, you know, some highlight plays. I think he'll be a fan favorite. It'll definitely be cool to watch him. Cassius Winston, of course, very talented point guard, very talented passer. I think he'll have a good amount of playing time, especially early on behind Tom Tom. You know, assuming that Tom Tom can stay healthy, which, you know, he said he was 100%. So,
yeah,
he should be good. And then, of course, we discussed Nick Ward. But, you know, really, it's three freshman recruits that all do three different things, you know. They all impact the game in their own way. So there's very little overlap there. So we'll be seeing a good amount of them, I feel. I think Izzo's really going to have to lean on his freshman a little bit, especially considering, you know, the injury to Gavin Schilling.
Certainly, and yeah, and speaking of Tum-Tum as well, I saw a quote from Tum, and, you know, he talked about his health, and he said he's actually 120% healthy. So
120%.
Right, exactly, right. I'm really looking forward to just seeing him have a healthy year after what occurred last year with the nagging plantar fasciitis. Miles Bridges, Omari. One and done, yay or nay?
You know what? I am going to say no. I'm going to say that he's going to come back for a second straight year.
Really? You know, that's against the grain. Yeah. Usually, you know, when I talk to people about Miles, especially those that saw him this past summer, they think this kid can play for plug and play for the Detroit Pistons right now.
Yeah, you know, I think Michigan State, I think they have a good team, but I think Luke and Gavin Schilling definitely capped their ceiling a bit. And I can see it being a Gary Harris situation where he comes back for a second straight year, you know, just to, you know, go at that national championship a second straight time.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, I mean, I have no inside information on this. I don't know what his thought process is or how the season will pan out. But I could see him as a guy that, you know, may just want to come back and give it another shot, especially considering, you know, how good a recruiting class they had and how Izzo's really prioritizing. Not that he hasn't prioritized it in the past, but, you know, during Midnight Madness, he said he wants to, you know, hang more banners here at Michigan State. And, you know, he's going to pretty much work here until he does that. So Miles Bridges, obviously, is a very big key in that. And, yeah, I guess that's going to be my bold prediction of the season that he comes back with, like a straight year.
That is a very bold prediction that surely goes against the grain. And I think a lot of it has to do with, Amari, how this first year goes for him. And also, you know, the success that this team has this year. Let's say they come just short of a national championship. But let's say they go all the way. I mean, I could see either scenario where, you know, he may want to come back and help this team defend that title or come back and have another crack at it. And then, but, you know, and it's a thing, though, because if he doesn't go, and let's say his stock is very, very high. Let's say this kid is a first-round, top-10 lottery pick. I mean, I could probably see him going then, Amari. Can you agree with that?
Okay, no, I think that's definitely fair. No, whenever you are a top-10 pick, I think you don't mess with that stock because you don't know what happened the next season.
So, exactly.
Okay, yeah, you got me there. If he's top-10, I think he'll be foolish to not go. But otherwise, I think he'll come back and try and not only raise his stock, but help Michigan State, you know, bring another banner home.
Okay, now we're on the same page. All right, Amari Sankofa, freelance writer for the Lansing State Journal, Detroit Free Press, and campus correspondent for Sports Illustrated. So you talked about this team needing Gavin Schilling, and because I remember you came on, Amari, and you said that Gavin Schilling is really going to be that player that shines this upcoming year. Now with him being injured, is there another name that you really think is going to really surprise a lot of Spartan fans out there?
I don't think Michigan State really got to see – well, okay, I'm going to cheat and name two people. But
okay.
I think Michigan State really didn't get to see Aaron Harrison's full game last year. He came in as sort of, you know, this offensive guy who can shoot and, you know, just do a lot of great things from the guard position offensively. And he ended up being more of a, you know, defensive specialist. So I think we'll see more of a full game from him next season. And, you know, I think he'll be a leader on the court, you know, especially just through his play and ability to hit big shots. I also think Tom has gotten a fairly knocked at times during the time at Michigan State. And, you know, of course, some of the injury issues haven't helped that. But I think Tom's really going to start to put his game together next year. I think he is a blur on the court. He's always the faster guy on the court. He showed some ability to make open jump shots next year. I think that'll be a key after, like, where season goes next year. But, yeah, Tom and Aaron Harris, I think, you know, that backcourt's really going to surprise some people throughout the season.
Now, Amari, when it comes to your report today at Media Day, what angle are you taking? What are you going to try to poke the bear and really produce when it comes to getting answers out of certain players and even Coach Izzo? What angle are you taking for today?
I think a big storyline is really how much will Izzo rely on his youth, you know, especially considering that, you know, one of the senior leaders, Gavin Schilling, is out. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be a storyline throughout the season. And, you know, of course, Miles Bridges, you know, he was already going to have, you know, a pretty substantial role, and Miles Bridges is going to be bigger since, you know, he's one of the bigger guys on the team. But I think it'd also be cool just to see what the expectations are for, you know, the young guys. You have, you know, Nick Ward, Bankford, Winston, and then, of course, Bridges. And, you know, these are all talented guys. These are all guys who see the court. Part of a recruiting class that Michigan State's never seen before. So it'll be really great, especially with the team that's starting in a couple of weeks, you know, just to see what their expectations are and, you know, just what their hopes are for the entire year and not just for themselves.
If you had to guess, Omari, what do you think those expectations are? Is it national championship? Is it a natty this year?
I don't know. You know, with Schilling, I would say I was predicting maybe Elite Eight. I guess it depends on, you know, matchups. It depends on if they run into a situation, you know, where with the final four season of 2015 where they just can't compete with the opposing team size. I'm going to go Sweet 16 this year. I think this is a Sweet 16 season.
I think so as well. And I could see them, you know, getting to a possible Elite Eight as well. All right, Omari, before we get you out of here, I know it's 10 minutes now before Izzo hops on the podium and addresses the media today. I want to briefly get your thoughts on this Michigan State football year. They've lost four straight. This is the worst stretch of football that we've seen in the D'Antonio era. They gave up 54 points against Northwestern this past homecoming weekend. Did you ever think – I don't think anybody could have predicted something like this, but did you ever predict it'll be this bad this year?
No, I don't think anybody saw this coming. I think a lot of people predicted maybe, you know, somewhat of a step back, but obviously, you know, the worst start of, you know, the past 10 years, I don't think anybody could have saw this coming. And it's just a result of all these things that I think people thought would happen that didn't happen. People thought that the D-line would return some guys that didn't come back. You know, there's been injuries on the linebacker unit. Of course, Robbie Bullen missed three games, was hurt. There's just all these things that have happened to the team that, you know, I've really kind of piled upon one another and, you know, have led to this four-game losing streak. I think they're turning around towards the end some. I cannot predict that they would get Michigan or Ohio State, but if they got one of those, obviously that would improve the season substantially. But, yeah, really, you know, at the halfway point, they're competing for a bowl game. It'd be cool to see, interesting to see how Maryland shakes out this weekend. And really, this is, I mean, I think the season's on the line this weekend. If they can't beat Maryland, then, you know, I'd just be curious to see, you know, from there what Mark D'Antoni and the coaching staff have to do. Because at that point, it's going to be really, really hard to make a bowl game, you know?
Very true. And, yeah, you know, it, right now, if you look at the schedule, I mean, they lost to Northwestern and BYU, Brigham Young. I mean, any game that they play now has an asterisk next to it. You just don't know. Nothing is given at this point in the year for the Michigan State football team. How do they put the wheels back on the track, and what do you predict this weekend against Maryland, Omari?
I think they need to figure out who their quarterback is again. Tyler O'Connor was, you know, the stronger of the two between him and Brian Lewerke last year. I think that Tyler O'Connor is probably your best shot going forward if the goal is to make a bowl game, which the goal obviously is. Obviously, they need to get healthier. They may not see John Rescue back, but if you get Darian Hicks, if you, you know, Riley Bullard remains on the field, I think those things will help. And, you know, they just have to, you know, fight, you know. I mean, I know that's a cliche, but, you know, at this point, you know, so much is going wrong. It's really at this point a test of resiliency and a test of, you know, just making quick adjustments throughout the year, which, you know, they've been doing, but they need to continue to do that, you know.
Right. So true. Well, only time will tell. Omari, thanks so much for your time, my man. I'll see you in a few minutes.
Absolutely. See you, Al.
You got it. Omari Sankofa, he's great, folks. Freelance writer for the Lansing State Journal, Detroit Free Press, and also campus correspondent for Sports Illustrated. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's current sports by talking a bit about the MSU women's basketball team. I got a chance to cover media day for that squad yesterday afternoon. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Well, as you see behind me, the Breslin Center is still undergoing construction. But pretty soon, the Bres will open its doors to the fans as the MSU women's basketball team gets set for a November 6th exhibition game against Northwood University. Now, today was Michigan State Women's Hoop Media Day with a team that only returns two starters from last year in Tori Jankowska and Brandy Agee. Chemistry can be sort of an issue. So what better way to help with that going to take a summer trip to Europe.
We were on a river cruise on the River Seine right out in front of the Eiffel Tower, and just you see all these people sitting along the river, you know, just hanging out, drinking wine, talking.
My favorite part was Paris. That was absolutely beautiful. And just like you said, being able to hang out with the team. We got new freshmen that are coming in, talented freshmen, and just being able to, you know, start our chemistry in Europe with them and just get to know them better.
I'm like, man, there's another life out here, and I'm not in it, but I really liked it.
I think it was amazing. I think as far as on and off the court, you got to know the freshmen and their personalities as people as well as players. You got to see who did what well, where we need to improve on.
Now, even with a ton of turnover from last year's team, this year's squad still has high goals and expectations. Now, other than winning, of course, a Big Ten championship, the ultimate goal for this squad is to attend a Final Four, something that one particular Spartan is pretty familiar with.
We have Taya that came in from Notre Dame who has that Final Four experience and who's really going to help us with that this year.
And that's something that I'm hoping to bring is that experience and that poise, I guess, just playing at that stage. And, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a lot of work, and I think that this preseason and now that we've started practice, I mean, we've definitely been putting in the work. So I'm really excited, and we're just working on that chemistry. I think that that's a huge thing.
She's been more about being here at Michigan State, and she's brought a lot of, you know, experience playing-wise and you know, maturity at a different level that not a lot of the players know. So we've kind of embraced that part.
For me, my goals, I talk to Coach about it all the time, is that, you know, I want to go to a Final Four. And I think that, you know, we all have the talent here to be able to do something like that.
2, 3, last one right here. 1, 2, 3, very nice.
Ah, yes. How cool is that, right? MSU Women's Basketball Media Day. I was there yesterday at the Breslin Center covering that. And as I mentioned in the report, the Michigan State team, they actually took a trip to Europe. They only returned 2 starters, Tori Jankowska, Brandy Agee. Last year, if you remember, of course, they had arguably, and I don't think it's even an argument right now, Ariel Powers, I mean, is the best player to ever come through the program. Ariel Powers, she, of course, decided to leave college early and declare for the WNBA draft. She was taken in the first round. I believe she was a top 5 pick, Isaac?
I think so, at least top 6.
Yeah. I want to double check on that, but I believe so. And yeah, Powers was actually the 5th pick in the 2016 WNBA draft by the Dallas Wings. She was the highest Spartan ever drafted in the WNBA. And last year saw a year that revealed a record of 25-9 and a 13-5 Big Ten record. MSU advanced, if you remember, to the finals of the Big Ten tournament, falling to eventual champion Maryland. And when it comes to the NCAA tournament, they got to the second round and then were eliminated. So with so much turnover, of course, you're going to have a lot of young players forced to get comfortable with new roles, with that spotlight. And one of the new names that I'm really intrigued about is Taya Reimer, who is actually a graduate transfer from Notre Dame. Had a pretty good stint at Notre Dame. She had a few injuries here and there and decided to you know, leave Notre Dame and come to Michigan State University. I got a chance to chat with Reimer, and here's what she had to say as far as her decision to come here went.
It feels great. It's really, it's been a great process, and I'm really excited to be here. It was actually not that much that went into the process. I mean, I talked to a few other schools, but this is the only place I visited, and that Sunday morning when I was about to leave, I told my mom, I was like, this is where I want to be. I don't really want to waste my time looking anywhere else. But I think it was just the family atmosphere here, and I definitely wanted to go somewhere where I felt like we would be successful on the court. So it was the best of both worlds coming here.
Taya, what are the realistic expectations for this team? How far can this team go, you think?
Honestly, I think this team can go as far as it wants to. I think that we have the talent to, I mean, win Big Ten championship, get to the Final Four, win a national championship. So we just got to get that level of work and get the chemistry down and all of that. And we're definitely getting there and working at that. But, I mean, I think that we could have a really great year this year.
Again, that was Taya Reimer, graduate student transfer to the Michigan State women's basketball team. If you want to check the visual of my report, just simply go to WKAR.org. Well, with that, we are out of time, folks. Yes, time flies when you're having fun. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Catch my report from Michigan State Men's Basketball Media Day later this evening on WKAR.org. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Take care and be easy, people.